Lord, bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to every member of this congregation who is a mother. And happy Mother's Day to everyone who is a grandmother, or an aunt, or a great aunt, or a godmother, or a stepmother, or a beloved neighbor, or beloved teacher. Everyone who does mothering of one sort or another, happy Mother's Day to you. When I was a little girl, my Episcopal church, St. Peter's, held a big rummage sale every spring. And I found myself thinking about it when we were all working hard at Bargain Hall last weekend. At St. Peter's, there were two grab bags for the children in the congregation. One was marked for boys, and one was marked for girls. And for 50 cents, you could take a chance, put your hand in the bag, pull out something wrapped in tissue paper, unwrap it, and see what you got. The girls always got jewelry of some kind or another. And I was obsessed with jewelry when I was a little girl of 5 and 6 and 7, just obsessed. So I always made a beeline for that grab bag with my 50 cents every year. I always spent it on those grab bags. And one year, I got this blue and white enamel pansy pin the size of a teacup saucer. And I loved it. And one year, I got a rhinestone bracelet that was only missing one rhinestone. And I loved it. And one year, I got a necklace with big red stones that I was sure were rubies. And I loved them. And my mother's birthday was always in May. So every year, I would love that piece of jewelry for a week or two. And then I would wrap it back up, and I would grandly present it to my mother on her birthday. And here is the good part. The part that I look back on now with deep gratitude. My mother wore every piece of jewelry I gave her when I was a child. And she didn't only wear it in the house. And she didn't wear it with a wink at people as she walked downtown. Every year, she wore the gift I gave her as if it were a Cartier diamond. She wore it when she met her friend for lunch, or when she was going out for a bridge game, or going to a book club meeting. And I would feel 10 feet tall, and I would be certain that my gift had made her outfit. And it actually took me years. It took me years to figure out that as splendid as I thought they were, my gifts were not the most fashionable or most elegant jewelry that my mother owned. But my mother always knew how to wear my gift to her with as much love and care as my 5 and 6 and 7-year-old self had had when I had given them to her. And my dignity and my pride were intact. Even with that blue and green enamel pansy pin that was as large as a teacup saucer. And I look back as an adult and I really marvel over her ability to see what I saw in it and love it accordingly. So when I became a mother over 25 years later, I knew how to treasure the giraffe necklace, the wooden bead bracelet, and the arrowhead necklace that my son gave to me. Because of my mother's example, I knew how to love those gifts with the same extraordinary love and joy with which my 4 and 5 and 6-year-old son had given them to me. And I wore them when they counted. And I knew myself to be very lucky. Because we are human moms, we are not perfect moms. But if we're lucky, we have some homemade jewelry. We have a card or a drawing, paper flowers, maybe some scribbles, maybe some real flowers, or maybe even breakfast on a tray this morning to remind us that we are loved by our wonderful but imperfect children. And that is more than enough for anyone. In the church calendar, today is Good Shepherd Sunday. And we have read and heard the beautiful Hebrew chanting of our 23rd Psalm to remind us that no matter how old we become, we always have a spiritual parent who loves us extravagantly. The Lord is my shepherd, we read, or we recite, or we hear. And we're invited to remember the permanent and eternal nature of that love. Our Father God, our Mother God, our Shepherd God invites us to be confident, to love and trust and follow, because God loved us first. And God loved us first because that's who God is. But we can acknowledge God's love, remembering that God calls each of us by name, that God unfailingly nurtures us, protects us, and guides us, and that God will walk with us wherever we go, even when we are in tough times, even when we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. In another part of sacred scripture, St. Paul reminds us, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And this sacred chain of holy love is what baby Oliver Giles Anza will receive when he is baptized in just a few minutes. And it's what six of our first and second graders will be confirming when they kneel at the altar rail with their families. God's love is unfailingly extravagant, generous, life-giving. And God sees who each of us is, calls us by name, and welcomes us home. In a very human way, imperfect but hopeful, we practice echoing God's love for us when we live out our Christian faith. And our baptismal covenant reminds us that we're meant to proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ, seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbors as ourselves, and to strive for justice and peace among all people, respecting the dignity of every human being. Only God could figure out how to help us do that in our mundane, imperfect, broken world. But God does. God does. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.